going to start by saying it's what date are we? The 14th.
14th of November
in 2004, and present at the Bay Area Movie Discussion Group are Nancy Frischberg and...
Richard, who has not seen the film.
Steve.
Mark.
George.
Jane. Mary, who's not seen the film.
And Robert.
And we're talking about Vera Drake.
Very good.
How about that? Can I go on the radio now? And Jane's review, you've already heard.
Yeah, was it all right?
I think summary.
You can say it one more time, too, just to be sure.
Okay, well, here's this woman who spends the whole first half of the movie very cheerfully helping everybody and in all sorts of ways, and that gets her into trouble, and she spends the second half crying. Everybody's crying, pretty much. But she's crying the whole time.
Really?
So is that a recommendation?
Yeah, it's not like a recommendation. No, I mean, actually, I don't know. I think I had a sort of mixed reaction. I mean, I thought it was well worth seeing. For one thing, I mean, it's sort of political.
Just a little.
It's got a very strong statement, as it were.
I don't grow choice.
Pro-choice?
Not necessarily.
No, I didn't feel it was pro-choice or...
All right. Yeah. I thought it presented a...
Pro-life. Either or.
No. Yeah, you would support it either way.
No, it was. I thought it very much made you want to make sure that abortions were available in such a way that you don't have to go to women like she...
Let me play devil's advocate here, because obviously you know this is not my point of view in real life, capital R, capital L. But I think you could be on the side of the other point of view and say, look, she was completely amoral. Whatever heartfelt reason she had for doing what she thought was a good deed, she helped people, you know, and there was this screwed up ethical situation where she thought she was doing for free and her friend was cheating her by collecting money for it, so the whole thing is corrupt. Mm-hmm. And what's more, half of these women who were involved in this and getting these abortions had no thought of the life that they were ending, and they needed to have a better, they needed that enforcement capability of somebody saying, this is not the right thing to do. You have to have consequences to your behavior. And that's what the police were there for.
I don't know. You could see in a number of them that the consequences were obvious. I mean, to the rich girl, all the turmoil that she went through.
But she didn't have Vera Drake.
No, she's the one who landed in the hospital.
No, but also the darkie.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she was in obvious distress and knew the consequences of her actions.
And then that mother who had
eight kids,
I can't have another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other woman whose husband was away.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
And then the woman who wanted the glass of the drink and then nudged her friend, made the tea for her.
And she's had it done like two or three times before.
Right. Mm. So there were a lot of examples. See, from my point of view, the movie was a wonderful character study and mood piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The color was amazing. Mm. You know, this was definitely London post-World War II, but only barely. And it was
only barely post-war.
Okay, right.
It was,
it was 1950, I guess, is what it was supposed to be, but it was, somebody said to me, oh, I saw a 1950s movie, it was that Julianne Moore thing. My God.
Yeah.
Different colors and completely different moods.
It was England.
They didn't recover very quickly.
No, they didn't. Not compared to the United States.
Well, you could probably understand he's on a very limited budget because he was very limited to what he showed. Because, I mean, there were probably like big stretches of London that were still bombed out, that were just razed to the ground from World War II. And he just showed little capsules. Like that little courtyard where they all lived. Mm-hmm.
So it was all brown and dark green, kind of, this gray light.
I thought it was very impressive.
Beautifully
the rooms were so small, the wallpaper was dark, and
It's kind of like one reviewer said, you can practically smell the wool in the clothes.
And she is always making people tea, isn't she?
Constantly.
In the preview, she makes tea for everything.
She did.
Well, that's such an interesting thing.
Have a cup of tea.
And it's just like a little comfort gesture. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's like let you know everything's going to be all right. Do you have a cup of tea?
I kind of went to this movie expecting to see that Oscar performance that they're talking about, because she's kind of like one of the front runners they're talking about. And I just didn't see it. It's kind of like you said, the first half of the film, she was kind of had a starring role equal to everybody else. It wasn't like she was that prominent in the first part of the film. In the second half, she's so shook up and distraught. She's crying. She doesn't hardly have any lines. So I just, The look of the film was really good. And I thought the film itself was okay, but I just didn't see Oscar caliber performance there.
But she may get it anyway because of the politics.
Yeah. Because most people see it as, even though you made the argument that it could be the other way, most people see it as.
Well, there was also that deeply ironic thing that I don't have my details completely set, but the young woman who's raped and then gets the abortion through her doctor, right, and it
is the daughter of one of the homes where she works,
right, and who essentially testifies against her, not testifies, but there was some moment where it struck me that. There was something very ironic going on, that the class of people who look down on her, there's this, you know, the daughter of one of them had to get an abortion, but because she had money, she could do it in a safe way. She could do it through the doctor.
And go to a private clinic, and nobody knew.
And that's why I thought it was sort of pro-choice, because it was like, what choice did the poorer woman have? They had Vera Draper nothing. Vera Draper had the baby. That's it.
Well, that's what the choice has always been for women before abortion was legal. So, I mean, this film really points that out and it humanizes in a way. That's what I appreciated about this film and thought that the political message was, no matter what side you were on, it made the issue, it humanized it. You know, it's not like a woman has an abortion, it's, you know,
this woman in this situation.
Or this woman in this situation, and portray a number of different situations without lining them up and saying, here's situation one, here's situation two, here's situation three, and so on. And it didn't hit you over the head with it, especially, you know, you could definitely see the comparison between the rich and the poor women having abortions and what was available to them. But it didn't hit you over the head with it. You know, it wasn't like really obvious political message. Another thing that it didn't do is it didn't demonize the police officer. I mean, I really appreciated that.
That was caring. Quite
and
caring.
So was the woman officer. Who thought at first she thought she was just really nasty, but she turns out to really care for her. She realizes that this woman has a good heart and she cares for her. You know, and that. I really appreciated that, you know, I mean, it could have gone, you know, an American version of this film definitely would have had them being the bad guys, you know, and definitely would have come more heavy-handed with the message if it was of a certain, political persuasion.
Well, I did have a problem with her at, like, the beginning of the film. Here's this self-confident woman going about her daily life, matter-of-factly, and then all of a sudden when she gets caught, she does. She just turns into this blubbering idiot. And it just didn't make sense to me. It was just too quick. It was just like the next scene, she was just crying, and she cried the rest of the movie. Which Mike really tends to do in some of his movies.
I'm a huge fan of Mike Lee, and I don't remember any characters. I think his characters are usually really well drawn.
The woman in Secrets of Life, she cried through the whole movie.
The mother.
Oh, the mother who finds her daughter.
Wonderful. Yeah, she was wonderful, but
she was wonderful.
She cried a lot.
She cried a lot. And that's what it didn't work for me that this woman all of a sudden she was just like incoherent. She couldn't handle herself once she got caught.
Well, she never thought it would happen.
Too dramatic of a transformation.
So she never recovered. She just went from A to B, and that was it. You know.
Well, did you think she was so naive or simple-minded that she never gave thought to the consequences that she ever gave caught?
Well, now the other piece is that we know part of the reason she got caught was the mother of the girl who got sick recognized her and knew her name. Nobody else knew her name. A woman will come. A woman will come to help you. So her fixer friend who was making money was the one who was the intermediary and allowed her to do the work without being named. Right. We had, at the point when this one girl, you know, gets an infection, my thought was, oh, is that how all the rest of them ended, or was this an aberration? So that, in the telling of the story, was a little off for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't clear to me whether this we were now finally seeing the end game that we hadn't seen, or this was the aberration. I guess it's the aberration.
I thought there was a line somewhere, where, at least there's, as far as Vera Drake knows, this is the only time this has happened.
Right, right. She says, oh my God. You know,
well, that's what I was going to ask. As somebody who hasn't seen it, is she a good abortionist?
Yeah.
I mean, skillful.
Yeah. Apparently,
so
yes.
Not a back alley in...
She would never know.
She doesn't know. She doesn't
because
play around
that hard. Follow up. Because she can't, because she's the woman. Yeah.
Well, there was the one scene when she was with the darkie, and the woman says to her, well, aren't you going to come back to see me? And remember Vera Drake, to me, Vera Drake kind of like a little light bulb went on in her head, like, maybe that's a good idea. But then she kind of just pushed it out of her head.
Well,
and then let's go back to the way I always done this.
Well, no, no. What I thought about that scene was, you know, she was just so nice to everybody up until then. And then the darkie. You know, she's in obvious distress. That's the way that scene was presented, where she was a human being, and she obviously had needs, emotional needs, and with any other type of, you know, any white person, I think Vera would have stayed and comforted her, you know, and made sure that she felt comfortable. But when Vera left that room, she left that room reluctantly, knowing that she was leaving this woman in serious emotional distress there, but she wasn't real comfortable in staying there because she was a darkie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I used that phrase, because I thought that was an interesting portrayal of that character in that time, where even though if you had a good heart and you were a good person, that there were lines that you didn't cross, no matter how you felt about that person, no matter how you felt, you know, that person needed you at that time, that she didn't cross that line. And that hesitation that I saw in her eyes was kind of like, you know, that was an interesting little character thing there, and it said something about the time that, you know, this was a time when not only there was struggle in terms of women's rights and women's reproduction rights, but there was also another struggle happening there in terms of racism, you know, and
all that overlaid with class.
Well,
right.
that's what I was wondering about, class. When you think about there is a sort of complexity there that she's such a bourgeois, well, they're working class, but there's such a very middle class.
Well, they're aiming for middle class, but slowly moving up.
Exactly.
Salesman,
and
you know,
so she dresses nicely. That's who she is, and she makes tea, and she putters around. And
she calls on the neighbors who need help.
But she's doing this thing that is quite radical on another level. And then, of course, it's revealed towards the end when the policeman says, did this ever happen to you? And the answer
Don't tell me. That's okay. I know, I can't say that. I'm not allowed to say that.
So
that's
the answer. You're going to have to see the movie.
That's my book
report. First convincing, not purposely. No, your review makes me want to run out. But no, I really want to see it.
Did anybody else have a problem with they never arrested the other woman?
What other woman?
Who was Peggy's daughter?
Oh, was saving the money, her friend who was getting the sugar.
We don't know that she's not arrested. We just know she's
not actually doing the deed.
Right.
You know, she's
doing the abortions that's illegal. Oh my gosh, she's involved.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's clear that she hasn't been arrested.
Alright, she may have done the plea bargain.
But I thought it'd be kind of nice if they would have just thrown in and that she was arrested.
Yeah.
We arrested your friend. They told me. Yeah.
She was a real piece of work. Here she was taking in all the money and then selling these.
Right.
The least she could have done is give her the sugar.
But she wasn't like portrayed as evil, you know. She,
she was multifaceted,
and she definitely had. I have some moral issues with the way she behaved, but you know,
the other woman.
Yeah, the other woman.
I thought she was kind of nasty.
Oh,
yeah.
She was an exploiter.
Yeah. They cast her as somebody not physically attractive. And they, you know, and she did several things that were pretty unethical, including taking money for the abortions while she made the arrangements and not telling Vera or sharing it with her, charging Vera for the sugar and all the rest of the rations that she got.
To the people that she was
He's just saying it wasn't a completely black and white.
Yeah, and it wasn't a caricature evil person, you know, who...
It's the banality.
Snicker.
Mm-hmm. It's the banality of evil.
Yeah.
It's the Hannah Arendt evil, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's more Mike Lee's style.
Well, would anybody think she was Oscar-worthy material?
He's back to that.
I thought that she had done an outstanding job in this role.
The rest of the cast did an amazing job. You know, I like the love story, you know, the
daughter,
the inarticulate guy.
He's pretty awesome.
Practically inarticulate.
What a good match.
And the father mechanic and his brother.
Oh my
and
God.
His wife. The wife was the only kind of cliche caricature there was.
Oh,
and yet there were scenes and incidents where she had depth and she had so, you know, almost every character.
Well, that's what I would expect from his films. Yeah.
Every single character, even if they have like 2 minutes of screen time. There's a lot said about that character in that 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. The inarticulate guy. We all knew that she from the get go she's
setting her
right that there's going to be something's going to happen to poor old Vera Drake. But I was really worried that that guy would break off his engagement to the daughter because of the scandal. So I was so pleased that he didn't. But then, of course, what did he say? Remember there was that
sad Christmas,
and he said, "This is the best Christmas I ever had," which is sort of like the one little, well, one of the glimpses you get of how pathetic his life was. I mean, he probably has no family, and maybe his family was killed in the war, I don't know. But like, this is the best Christmas
ever. Remember the scene when they were all talking about the war, and they were all sitting in the little room, and he told the story of how his mother got killed.
Oh, right.
And then they were all telling stories of how they knew people who got killed because of the bombings.
Anybody have a problem with the son being as tall as he was?
I have a problem with the son.
You have a problem with that.
Which problem did you have?
Any of the family.
He didn't fit in with the family. It's like, here's the daughter kind of looks like her, and you can kind of fit in. And here's the son who's like 2 feet taller than the rest of the family and has this mop of dark hair and stuff. And it's just like, the casting, he just didn't fit in to me.
He fit into the character that he played.
Oh, the character and everything was fine, but I'm just saying his physical presence.
Right. I agree.
Was not.
Come on, things skip a generation.
grandfather. When I first saw the daughter, I thought it could have been Vera Drake's sister. I mean, she was pretty
mousy.
Slumpy looking.
She was.
It was like whoever played, I can't remember the name, in League of Our Own. You know, there's a big girl who's kind of like this, and then she's just...
Marla.
Marla, that's it, Marla. She looked like Marla, but thinner, right?
I can't remember that. She's been in a lot
she's
of other
things. She's been in a whole bunch of
things.
She's great.
She's, they've cleaned her up in some things, too, where she actually does look good.
Yeah.
Now, who was she in Lake of Her?
She played Marla, who had that, her father trained her, and she had that
right.
great
oh, yeah,
throw.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's a great softball, women's softball.
Actually,
yeah. Hardball, women's hardball.
With Madonna and Rosie.
Kelly Marshall.
And Tom Hanks.
Marshall, yeah, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Not Hanks,
it's
a
film.
And what's her name who plays the one?
Mark Petty, the other one.
Is the other one who's got the son that she keeps dragging along?
No.
Who's that one?
Petty,
I she plays on Monk. She's a...
Oh,
she
right.
plays Shonda, or LaShonda, oh, whatever her name is, by Monk. And she's the one who had the son, and that's who Tom Hanks says to... There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball.
Right?
How do we get onto that?
Because of the look, the Shlemiel look. But that's a good transition for Shlemiel, right?
That's a good... acting on everyone's. I mean, I totally bought that these people were who they were. In fact, I was even staggered to see them in doing something else, like
mm-hmm.
the one who plays the pathetic daughter. Maybe next thing she does, she'll be a vamp. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine.
Hard to imagine.
So I know that we don't do thumbs up or thumbs down, but do so. Most of you like it?
Apparently.
Would recommend it?
Yeah. I think it's yeah.
must
see.
Worth seeing.
I think it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah. I thought even George who
yeah. I was a little disappointed in her. I guess I was expecting more from the actress. But I think the movie is okay to good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds fascinating.
I think I agree with George in that the performance, you know, because of her just one dimensional performance for the second half of the
mm-hmm.
film, it wouldn't rate as Oscar quality.
Mm-hmm.
Up until then, I thought it was good. But then she just has that one note at the end of the film. Last
so,
film.
Yeah, I don't think it was a full half, though. It felt like, I mean,
yeah.
it was a very dramatic cut.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was time-wise,
more
like
two-thirds,
yeah. one-third, or more. Or even
yeah, you're right. And the thing I liked about that last third, or quarter,
right.
is that the logical end to the film, if it was another film, would have been, you know, she's arrested, she goes to jail, you know, and that's it, finished. No, but
mm-hmm.
this, it spent time with what it meant for her to be arrested,
mm-hmm.
for her and her family, and how they
mm-hmm.
came to terms with it, and how they had trouble coming to terms with it. So
mm-hmm.
it spent some time with the consequences.
Right, and this whole sense of the new reality of who's mom, you know, who is this woman that I've been living with for the last
mm-hmm.
18 years?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because nobody
has no idea.
Nobody.
And yeah. she met some people who did the same thing she did in prison.
Right.
You know,
but
that part.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been in there, what, twice? That was the second
mm-hmm.
time.
And
the ladies that she talked to.
Mm.
And it seems like they were doing it for money and didn't really care about
yeah.
the methods that they used.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish there
she seemed a little stronger, too, in that, which is, I thought it was funny that she was, to me, strong in the beginning, and then all that crying, and then when she's in jail, she was fine.
I didn't think she was fine. I didn't think she was fine.
She wasn't
crying anymore,
yeah.
but don't you remember how she has that little bit of dialogue with those two women, and then she says, see you later, and she sort of scurries up the stairs, and she still looked like she was in her mousy phase.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have really liked to have seen a little moment or two where she gets angry, or she gets, you know, in something indignant.
But she, yeah, right.
Yeah,
I
mean,
that felt like it would fit.
I never thought she was doing anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew when they came together why they were.
Yeah,
but
she knew
she was doing something illegal.
Yeah,
right.
She obviously didn't
understand.
Because they said that you've been.
They used some oblique phrase.
Or something. And she says, oh no, dear.
I just thought of it as helping girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm anxious to see
it. Sounds like that's a wrap.
Yes, that's a wrap.
and to forget it.